98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
You said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal. Let's go!
And welcome on in, welcome on in to the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FoxSportsAberdeen. Fun show for you here today on FSA, a recap of the weekend that was. Class B baseball underway, Class A baseball underway. For the amateurs out there, we were talking off the air about some of the interesting stat lines and box scores with that. We'll certainly unpack some of that. Also, the Sports Hub continues to deliver greatness. I'll leave it at that. We'll talk about that later on in the program as well. And then, if you can believe it, we are officially underway with some high school athletics. Today is the first official day of allowable high school athletics in the state, and nothing regionally here, but we do have some girls' tennis action. I believe it's Spearfish is in the mix today, and they're taking on, I think, Rapid City Christian or something. I got to double-check that, but you've got some of that, and that officially means we've got high school tennis here in town, or at least within the region, as Aberdeen Roncalli. They are officially in the mix tomorrow, and looking forward to a discussion coming up here towards the bottom of the hour is Jonah Dignan. He'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour, talking some Roncalli girls tennis. He is the Cobra. He joins yours truly. Happy Monday, sir. How are you?
Doing all right. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Looks like our computer over here has got a case of the Mondays.
Yeah, it certainly does. Had a little rough Monday, to say the least.
I guess.
For some.
Yeah, no kidding. It's like you drag it to the right, it goes left. If you try to go left, it goes right. I don't know how that works out.
I'm just glad I'm not mad on that. I was doing that the last couple days when you were out, and mm-hmm. that would have definitely screwed me up big time.
Well, I think I need to pull a Homer Simpson in here, you know? If anyone knows the Simpsons, when Homer has a 513 in his office, I think that's what I need to do over here, and maybe that'll help things out, perhaps. I don't know. But, yeah, no, it was a fun episode, or fun works, or not full work weeks episodes of the Sports Hub, but Wednesday through Friday, you're doing a nice job kind of filling in for yours truly, and I enjoyed the shows.
No, they were fun to do, especially the one on Friday. We had the Dell Rapids head coach, Danny Miller. Wow, what a program that is. They didn't win a championship from like the 60s to like 2017, and now they can't lose. It's kind of crazy how that works, how just a group of kids the last 10 years have been able to stay on top. And just a really interesting discussion with him. We also had Cy there on Friday. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was a lot of fun talking to him. You know, because you hear about droughts all the time, and that team had one, and now they can't lose. It's crazy.
Yeah, these things come in fits and starts, and now for them, this drought is officially over. They've got an overabundance of wins, if that's a thing. But certainly a big shout-out to that program, and congratulations to them. All right, he is Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Let's go ahead and toss this thing in the air for this Monday installment of The Jump. And I got to tell you, I shouldn't admit this live on the radio, but I'm not breaking any news with it. I stayed up past midnight to watch the Seahawks and Raiders game.
It ended in a tie.
And I'm just so disappointed because the Seahawks had that one at hand. They were up 16-3. Then they're up 23-13 with like 7.5 minutes left. Big shout out to the NDSU guy, Cam Miller, quarterback for that program for the last couple of years. He came in for the Raiders, filled in very, very well, took them right down the field, and the Seahawks game was a tie. But indeed, I stayed up to watch the whole thing because I'm a psychopath. And I did have off on Friday.
Sure.
So I was like, all right, I can get away with this. But the thing that really, really made me happy about that game was watching Gray Zabel. And this was weird because when I'm watching a football game as a fan, I'm watching it like I'm calling a game. I'm watching the football. I'm watching the quarterback. I'm watching the whole play. But I was just basically dialed in on Gray Zabel, just watching him at left guard. And I tell you what, he had one play where he kind of stubbed his toe, and it was, ironically enough, the first snap of the game. But other than that, he was aces. He played two drives. He was on Baldy's breakdowns over the weekend. So a big shout-out to the Peer and NDSU graduate. He was outstanding there against the Raiders on Thursday night.
And sometimes you're going to get the welcome to the NFL moment. It sounds like he had it early on the first play of the game, and he was able to recover and, yeah, played a little bit. First-round pick. You love to see first-round picks play, and only if it's for a little bit, he stepped up and showed out. But he had his welcome to the NFL moment, that's for sure, and, you know, was able to kind of bounce back and play well. And if you're on the Baldinger breakdown, that means you played okay.
Absolutely. Had a great pancake on the second drive there, their touchdown drive. So I tell you what, I was thoroughly impressed, and guess what? It's not like he's going to Canton right now. Let's not give him the golden jacket, but it's a good start for a rookie.
It's a good sign.
And he's a South Dakota guy, so it makes me happy about that. But you mentioned it. The Seahawks and Raiders game tied. They tied. The Bears and the Dolphins.
Well, I watched the end of that.
That was interesting.
That
yesterday.
Was bad.
Yeah.
Bad.
Bad.
Just Quinn Ewers was... they were talking about on the broadcast just some of those play calls. They were trying to get into field goal range. They go 4 and out, went for it on 4th and 15. They got sack, fumble, and then the Bears with Reed at quarterback, they couldn't move the ball down the field. They had a drop, and they couldn't get in field goal range. It was bad watching the end of that.
It was bad football. There's no two ways about it. Bears and Dolphins going to a tie there. So I thought to myself, Cobra, you know, we can't do this. We can't do this. We can't have ties. And, of course, they used to have overtime in preseason football. That ended back in 2021. So now we just have ties. And I thought to myself, you know, we just had the MLB All-Star Game. You know, that's kind of an exhibition. They just basically said, okay, home run derby. We're going to figure out whoever has more home runs, they win the game. So I thought to myself, what can we do in the NFL to determine a winner? Something kind of dumb, something kind of chintzy. And I thought to myself, quarterback throw-off, perhaps?
That could work.
You know, whoever throws it the furthest, that team wins. Each team picks maybe their fastest guy, do a little 40-yard dash. It's a thought. Maybe you go to the college rules. You start at the 20-yard line or the 25 or the 10, and you've got just a play or two. Any ideas? What say you?
Maybe a two-point conversion contest. Whoever gets the first two-point conversion wins.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get the first, like, it's sudden death. So if you get the two-point conversion right away, the team doesn't have a chance to respond. So
it's
you could do that. You could do a field goal kicking contest with, like, no defense. You could go 50, then 55, 60, 65.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was a 70-yard field goal made
in
the Jaguars game, which I was shocked by, but... Yeah, you could do something like that. First one to miss the kick loses.
Yeah, I'm all for that. I think all of those are dumb ideas. And by the way, they're great ideas. That's what I'm saying. It's kind of a dumb way to end a game, but I think they're outstanding.
The two-point conversion one gets a little hairy because you can get injuries that way.
Right.
Because if you're going balls to the wall on a two-point conversion play, something could happen. But I feel like the best one would be either the throw-off. I like that one a lot. And I like the kickoff. Just... Hey, get a tee up like you do in warm-ups. Whoever misses first loses.
I really like the kicking idea. I think that's a great way to determine a winner. And obviously, some coaches would say, this is all stupid. We don't need it. Let's just end it as a tie. But as a sports fan, it's like kissing your sister. That's what they say is a tie. So not a fan of that. But those are all ideas. And by the way, they are, I think, pretty decent ideas. You mentioned the Dolphins and Bears game. Caleb Williams did not play in the game there yesterday. Instead, he went through what head coach Ben Johnson is calling it a spirited pregame warm-up. And I thought to myself, hold on. Timeout. He's in his second year, brand new play caller, brand new offensive line, a lot of new wide receivers, new skill position players. Nah, just can't do a whole drive. Just can't quite pencil in a drive and a half. Can't even do two. We're going to do a pregame deal. And I quote tweeted this by saying, yeah, boy, looked like that pass rush was really coming in hot against him. What do you mean you can't lace up the Nikes for a drive or two?
Yeah, just to go out there for a drive. I saw the spirited warm-up. People were making a big deal about it. I didn't really care for it. Go out there. It's not like this is a proven guy in the league yet. Let's be real.
Patrick Mahomes played over the weekend.
I was just going to say, if he can play, you can play for a drive. The only guy that really gets an exception, in my opinion, is somebody like Aaron Rodgers. He's 40 years old. He's been around the block 20-something years. He can sit out. I was okay with Lamar not playing either because, again, he's a proven guy in the league. And if Patrick Mahomes didn't play, I would have been fine with that as well. But he went out there and played. It's funny. Andy Reid always finds a way to get his starters out there. Travis Kelce, he plays a couple games. I don't know if he played in their preseason opener, but he has in the past is what I'm saying. But I just don't understand the Caleb Williams. You know, it's kind of his M.O., it seems like, his how he thinks. It's like, you know, we'll just go through the warm-up and be all right. Didn't want to get out there. And I don't know. The Bears, man, it's always something with them. It doesn't matter who's coaching the team. It's going to be Bear football.
And you know what's going to happen? If and when they start out 0-1 or 0-2, a slow start, everybody in the media, everybody in the fan base, everybody with a pair of eyes can say, well, you did nothing in the preseason. Well, you get what you get.
Well, look at Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase. They were dominant in the game. I talked about it on Friday. 9-10, two touchdowns for Burrow, and Chase had 4 for 77. And we talked about that. Zach Taylor wants these guys to get reps so they're ready week one. The defense stunk, and that's a whole different story, but at least you got your stars playing well. For the Bears, all we talk about in the national media scene is how much pressure Caleb Williams is coming into his second year. So why is he not out there trying to get at least some reps? Like you said, you got a brand new staff there. It would make sense for him to get some reps out there, the first team. I mean, J.J. McCarthy, he played a series. He got injured, and he was out all last year. He played for a series and led a scoring drive. We're not asking you to play for a half. We're asking one drive.
Hey, you know, you're being paid millions of bucks. Maybe, just maybe, you could lace them up. Ah, we're good here. We're fine.
It's Bears football, man.
It's unbelievable stuff. And speaking of J.J. McCarthy, I watched that game there on Saturday. And I got to tell you, small sample size, just a drive. But there was one play in particular that really, really stood off the page to me. Was there was some action around his legs. There was some action around his ankles and knees. And he's kind of just a little shimmy sidestep to the left, threw a nice pass over there to Jordan Addison, made a nice diving catch. And I thought to myself, those are the game-time reps that you get in a preseason game that some of these guys that maybe are coming off of an injury, they don't necessarily see when the bullets are flying, so to speak. I mean, knees for quarterbacks, I mean, if one of those goes, obviously that could be a career, it could be a season like J.J. McCarthy, but he stood strong, just a little shimmy shake to the left, and I thought to myself, hey, that shows up to me in the film room on Monday if I'm Kevin McCarthy. Kevin O'Connell,
No doubt about it. The guy who's mobile and coming off a knee injury, how strong is that knee? How confident are you in the knee?
Yeah.
And that's something that those reps get you. Now, obviously, you don't want your quarterback to get hit, but if you're avoiding the rush and can kind of play at game speed, it can help. And McCarthy looked well in that first drive, and I think he's going to be a little bit more mobile. We'll see how much he's going to be moving out back there in the pocket, but hopefully the O-line's strong, and that's what he's going to need. I think if he gets a strong offensive line play, he'll be just fine because they got the weapons on the outside that you need with Hockenson. Addison's going to be suspended the first three games, which I talked about, but you still have Jefferson and Aaron Jones, so he's got weapons. It's going to be up to that offensive line to protect him.
And you mentioned his mobility, did scramble for a first down on a 4th and 4. So I was
The one thing I do get worried about McCarthy is first option isn't available. I'm just going to tuck it and run. I think that's kind of where I'm worried about. Just, you know, you got to, you know, if the first option isn't there, you don't just need to put your head down and run. See what else is maybe going to develop, because that's how you can get hurt as well. Like, hey, first option isn't there. I'm just going to tuck it and run. He's going to take hits doing that.
Or basically just say, hey, JJ's out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Just throw it up for
just
grabs.
Chuck it up to him.
18's out there, I'm sure. All right, coming up next on the program, once again, the Sports Hub delivers some greatness. We'll talk about that. Plus some Aberdeen Ron Colley tennis talk is coming up towards the bottom of the hour as well. All of that and more is coming up right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Sports Hub continues on a marvelous Monday. Good to be with you on this, the 11th day of the month of August, which also is, coincidentally, the start of the Brown County Fair. Brown County Fair Week is officially here. It's worth the drive, they say, in 2025, and looking forward to it. You looking forward to a certain concert in particular this week?
Yeah, Friday night. I was 38 Special and Uncle Cracker, man. Mm-hmm. I saw 38 Special in Nashville like 10 years ago. They were great.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to seeing how they sound.
My mother-in-law's in town, and she said, ooh, 38 Special's in town, huh?
Yeah.
I said, yes. She goes, well, see you later. That's where I'm going to be on Friday night. So, yeah, looking forward to it. Pick yourself up one of those Worth the Drive in 2025 Brown County Fair booklets. If you do not want to pick one up, fine. All right. But they're also online for your browsing pleasure there, if you will, there as well. So check that out at your leisure as Brown County Fair Week is officially here. Well, this last week on the Sports Hub, we were joined live in studio by a pair of guests talking some MMA and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu up in St. Michael, North Dakota, where the action was here this last weekend, and it was Landon Fisher and Austin Manu both picking up a pair of wins in their Throne MMA event. In the first fight as an amateur for Austin Manu, he earned the victory there via decision, and it was also Landon Fisher forcing his opponent to submit in the second round of the bout there for the Throne MMA Flyweight Championship title there in the main event for the night. So congratulations to a couple of guys here that we had on the Hub, and I kind of texted Landon afterwards. I said, hey, man, we typically have good luck around here, and well, obviously it was all about those guys getting the job done, but that's a really, really cool opportunity for those guys to go out and show out, and they sure did on Saturday.
For sure, and I think the wrestling background for Fisher came up big because he got his opponent to submit, and when we talked to him, he said, hey, I'm pretty comfortable on the ground. So that's where that wrestling background, I think, comes in. And being able, because if there's a guy like maybe his opponent who didn't have that background, maybe he just didn't see that coming. So big shout out to Fisher. Saw the belt look pretty cool as well on the picture. And Manu, man, he's got that stone cold face, man. We talked about that after. Like, the guys, you don't want to get in a ring with that guy. He just seems like he's a mean individual in the ring.
All business. You know, all gas, no brakes for him, and he picked up a win there too. And, you know, there's something to be said about getting off to a good start, especially as an amateur. This was his first ever fight. You know, there's going to be some nerves there. And we talked about it with Landon on Saturday, given the fact that he was the last bout there on Saturday night. You're waiting around all day, you know, you're just trying to keep everything out of your mind. You're around some of your family and friends and stuff like that, and at the end of the day, it's kind of mano y mano. You got to figure it out that he's out there to hurt you and you're out there to hurt him. I don't know if there were any, you know, injuries or anything of the sort regarding the fight afterwards, but I tell you what, to wait all day and then go out there and execute, that's big time.
And he had to feel pretty good. He got it done early there in the second round, and he talked about how he would go out pretty fast in his fights, and he would not have any air by the second round there. You're probably still feeling pretty good, and, you know, like you said, you're trying to hurt your opponent. You know, you get into a submission, you're trying to choke a guy out. That's basically what you're trying to do, and until he taps out. So, I mean, it's a different level of sport. It's similar to wrestling in a sense that it's mano y mano, and you're trying to win. But there's that, hey, I'm trying to knock you out, I'm trying to choke you, and win the fight. So big shout-out to those two. We'll have to see if they turn pro, right? That's the next kind of goal for those guys.
I think that was Landon's last fight as an amateur, and for Austin, it was obviously his first, and he didn't necessarily say how many he'd like to have underneath his belt, but probably a comfortability thing. By the way, I'm surprised you didn't say it was Manu eat Manu.
Ooh, you suck.
I know, you could drop that in for me for sure, but you know, it's a great outing for both of those guys, and both of them were saying, hey, you know, we want to kind of put Aberdeen on the map here a little bit as an opportunity for this sport to grow here in this town.
Certainly did that. When you see that, when you see a couple wins, and I mean, you got a title around your waist in somebody like Landon Fisher. So certainly represented the Hub City Jiu-Jitsu and the MMA proud there, coming out with wins. And, you know, it's just, I feel like that's got to be so rewarding. You put in all this time and training camp, whatever, however long, like 6 to 8, 10 months, whatever it is in a training camp or weeks, and you're able to come out on top with a win. Because I can only imagine how tough it could be on somebody's psyche when you put in 6 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, and you go and you don't perform the way that you like. So that's got to be very rewarding for both those guys. That hard work does pay off.
And we were talking with Landon Fisher off the air, and he was saying that his opponent there was talking a little noise there on social media, and we kind of let that part stay off the air until, obviously, I'm bringing it up now. But now he's got the opportunity to say, hey, I've got the last laugh at you, bud.
Yeah, I wonder how that – I wonder if they, like, you know, the Joe Rogan comes on the mat and says, hey, give your thoughts on the fight. I wonder if he showed a little charisma there and was like, hey, this is what you get.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't understand why anybody would want to trash talk in a sport like MMA. Like, you are going out there against someone like you said, he's trying to hurt you, and you're giving him more fuel to the flame. That's like, here's a gas can. There's a flame over there. You figure it out. I'm sure it's fine. What?
It's like the Rocky IV scene when he's like training and Rocky like crumbles up the Drago picture.
Sure.
That's kind of what it's like.
Doesn't make any
he
sense.
He adds a little bit more motivation, like you said. You know, you get somebody talking trash, it just adds to the fire when you're in training camp, and you just want to beat them that much more.
Yeah, I don't know. It definitely worked out, though, for Landon Fisher and Austin Manu, so big congratulations to both of those guys picking up wins there up there in St. Michael, North Dakota. Coming up next on the program, we're going to talk a little high school tennis. If you can believe it, we are officially underway with that here today, specifically for Aberdeen Roncalli, though. They are in the mix tomorrow. We'll talk about that and much more as Jonah Dignan. He'll be joining us here live in studio to talk about the Aberdeen Roncalli girls tennis program live in studio after this. Sports Up continues on a marvelous Monday right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen as Jonah Dignan joins us live in studio to talk a little Aberdeen Roncalli tennis. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How about you guys?
We're doing well, and we're kind of talking off the air. You're a psycho, too. You're watching all kinds of NFL preseason football, huh?
I am. I do love the NFL preseason.
That's all right. It's totally fine. You're in good company here. We're a couple of guys that really enjoyed our preseason football. But, you know, off the air, you said that you're also the new head coach for the boys team as well. So congratulations to you on that as you're the head coach for the girls and boys team now. Do you feel comfortable? You're ready to kind of get this thing underway?
Yeah, I'm ready to get started. I've done a lot of prep for the season here, and I'm just ready to get going.
It's hard to believe that the season officially begins tomorrow. I mean, we're also talking off the air that you do have some tennis going on here today between Spearfish and Rapid City Central. But, yeah, the season is close at hand.
And is this the first day, I guess, you can start with practice and all that?
No, we started with practice last Monday, so you get about a week. Today's the first allowable contest day, so you get a week of practice leading in.
Is a week long enough? I mean, we talk about this with football. I think they get 10 days. Yeah, 10 days of practice, and not all of those are padded practices, but is a week long enough to kind of get ready to go for the season opener?
It depends. So we returned three people, and so we basically had to build the bottom half of our ladder. And at times it doesn't feel long enough. If you return 4 to 5 kids, you're going to be pretty good by that time. It just depends how much you have to build your ladder out.
Sure. So did you kind of have your top three ladder, so to speak, already kind of completed, and then you're trying to build that second half? And are there some close competitions in that second half there, that ladder? Or?
Yeah, I would say from 4, 5, and 6 are all pretty close. You could play any of them at any one of those spots.
Sure.
And 1, 2, and 3 were made up of two returners and one girl, a seventh grader, that she'll be pretty good. So after, like, the top three is pretty set after, like, day two, and then the bottom half took the rest of the week to fill out, just to figure out.
Sure. Jonah Dignan joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. So what's day one like, you know, for you? Is a bunch of icebreakers and stuff like that, or is it just all footwork? I mean, what's kind of day one look like?
At day one, a lot of the girls I've seen hit a ball, but maybe they haven't been to, like, the open courts during the summer and stuff like that. So I haven't seen them hit a ball since the girls' season a lot of times. So I just, we we just hit a lot of balls. We did some drills where I just watched them all rally with each other and stuff like that. And day two, we got into some match play between the girls to really just let them hit a ball. A lot of them haven't hit a ball since then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're kind of just trying to build the basics up that first week, right?
Yeah. Like,
and then trying to, you know, you don't want to get too technical with some things, right, and confuse them.
Right, yep. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of it's just let's see the ball, hit the ball. Let's start there.
Yeah, that was my problem. I was always swinging and missing when I played tennis back in the day. So when we had Coach Haskell on, he was saying that the first month or so is kind of an information gathering session for him. Is it kind of similar for you as well?
Yeah, I think it'll be pretty similar. We play tomorrow. We play the next two weekends. We got two tournaments the next two weekends here. So we're just going to try some things out, try different lineups out, try different things in practice. And after we get through that, hopefully we have a pretty good feel for where we'll be at and who we have playing where.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned, you know, you're just trying to coach, like, see it in hitting. Do you find it that people are trying to kind of slow things up a little bit so it stays in? Or what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times that's actually what I tell them to do is they just want to hammer the ball. And and hammering the ball with 100% power and no accuracy is not as good as 70% power with 50% accuracy.
Sure.
So, and it's just getting them to understand you can hit it with less power and have it go in. And that's 100 times better than hitting it as hard as you can and it flying it over the fence.
So it's a young club, a lot of young players on this team. I'm looking up and down your roster. I see some sixes and sevens and some eights in there, which I'm talking sixth, seventh, and eighth graders. And by the way, I'm not talking like the teenage slang, 6'7". Like, I don't even know what that means. Brian Dable, did you see that clip over the weekend? Brian Dable was talking about 6'7". You know what I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
I saw it.
What the H does that even mean, 6'7"?
I have no idea.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, neither do I. I mean, we're all partially educated. We have no idea what 6'7", but anyways, I'm getting off topic. It's a young team. Does it kind of make you excited, the fact that you do have a lot of girls that are in their 6th, 7th, and 8th grade years, and freshmen too, that this team, by the time those girls are juniors and seniors, you should have something pretty special here?
Yeah, I think, and that's one of the things that we've talked about as a team, is that this year and maybe a little bit into next year, there's going to be some growing pains. We play some real good teams right off the bat this weekend in Pier and this tomorrow in Huron. But we have time to grow. We're one of the few teams in the state that's not completely made up of high schoolers. And so we have a few seasons here where we can take our beating, and then we'll make sure we hand it back later.
There you go.
Yeah, like you said, you can kind of take your time and work on some things. And we always talk about, when you do have a young team, you can kind of, you're playing against some pretty good competition, so by the time you get to that next level, it kind of comes easy to you.
Right. And we have girls that play summer tournaments all over the state, so
okay,
they've seen it, they know what's coming. So
how does one even get into the summertime stuff? Is that something through the state, or is that kind of on the athlete to get signed up for that? I mean,
yeah, a lot of times it's on the athlete. Mm-hmm. If I hear about tournaments, I try to send them out and just let people know they're happening. Parents see them. Other coaches will tell me about them or tell their parents about them. So
how did those girls do in those tournaments?
Well, I have one main one, Sydney Boley. She's a 7th grader this year. She played in Sioux Falls and Mitchell. And she did real well in them, so she played good competition and competed. So her dad will be my assistant coach this year.
Gotcha. Right on.
So we talk about being in different shape. You know, we had a couple guys that were MMA fighters, and it's a different kind of being in that kind of shape is different than being in football shape and basketball shape. And you know, there's, my guess is, a tennis shape as well. What's that kind of look like, and what are you trying to see?
Well, I mean, tennis is – as long as your tennis matches is just how fast you can beat the person across the net from you. So if you're going to play slow tennis, you have to be in really good condition. Mm-hmm. So you see it in the boys a lot more. Some of these boys can just go out and they'll just beat this kid as fast as possible. And they don't have to be in great shape, right? They can be real tired after that. With the girls, they play a lot more methodically, so you kind of have to get them in condition. So we've been doing some conditioning. It's been so humid that I've tried to limit that.
But do you see a lot of long volleys in girls' tennis, or
Yeah, you can. So at the lower, like at the JV and even into the lower varsity, there's a lot of times that point's going to be over in three shots, okay, regardless of who wins it. But as you get into that top four, maybe that top three there, they're 15 to 18 shot rallies.
How much time do you focus on, like, the serve?
I spend a lot of time on the serve. I think that's the most important shot because you can't start a point without it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we spend a lot of time on just serve placement is the main thing, and then you add the power from there.
Because I feel like it's really hard to serve it with power but also keep it in that box. I feel like do you see a lot of faults then?
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, the serve's one of the hardest. I mean, some people will not agree with this, but I think it's one of the hardest shots to hit in tennis, mm-hmm, and to hit well. So you do see a lot of faults, especially like early on when they're just kind of lobbing the ball over the net.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard with girls because, like, part of what makes a good server is you have to be tall.
Okay.
And be able to contact the ball high. So with girls, it's a little more complicated, but.
Yeah, a little different. You typically don't see a whole lot of 6'5" girls out there that are 6th and 7th and 8th graders.
Right.
So yeah, right. It's a process for sure. Jonah Dignan joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. So, obviously, you're in the mix here tomorrow. Like you mentioned, you've got a very busy schedule, particularly early. How important is early success to the team? You know, it's a very mentally tough sport. It's kind of like golf to a certain degree. You're going to have some bad shots, but, you know, how do you battle back? Is that something you kind of talk to them about, is the mental aspect and just the importance of getting off to a good start for you guys?
Yeah, we spend a lot of time talking about the mental aspect, even just as little as when you change over, when you change sides, just taking a minute, drinking water just to reset, and whatever happened in that last game doesn't matter, because, like, as you said, it from shot to shot you can hit an amazing shot and then you can follow it up by hitting it into the net. Like, there's really, it's kind of dumb actually, so we spend a good portion of our time talking about just forgetting that serve, forgetting that shot, and moving on to the next one.
Is that something that is, I mean, it's easy in practice, you know, in theory, but maybe in practice it's a little bit more tricky, especially with 6th and 7th and 8th grade girls, and boys for that matter. Do you find, like, that's something that's really difficult to kind of get them locked in to have that next play mentality or that next shot mentality?
I actually think it's easier in the course of matches to get them to move on. In practice, they just want to hit that shot over and over and over again until they get it right, which is great. But a lot of times they just end up in that same rut of just making the mistake over and over again. And so in matches, a lot of time, because everything changes so fast with how their opponent hits the ball, the shots that they have to hit, they actually move on way better in matches.
So how much coaching can you really do in a match then? Because my guess is it's a little bit different from practice and match, and maybe some gals are like, hey, you know, I kind of want to stay to myself or things of that. So can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, so part of it is knowing your athletes and knowing if they're going to want to talk or not. But then I think the state gives you 25 seconds between points, a couple minutes at maybe a minute at changeover, and a couple minutes at a set break. I don't love coaching between points. I think that's kind of distracting.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they have a really, like, rough couple games, I might go out on a changeover and talk to them. And then I try to always go out in the set break, even just to see if they need water and stuff like that, that I can go get more for them and stuff like that. But for the most part, I actually try to limit how much I talk to them during that and kind of let them feel it out themselves.
Do you have a preference of playing to 10, or do you go by
sets?
Sets, yeah. Do you have a preference?
Yeah, sets is huge. That you get that set break, and it's huge. If you go down, you can lose the first set 6-0.
Yeah.
And bounce back and win the second set and go to a super tiebreaker and maybe win the match. But if you go down 6-0 in a 10 game, at that point you're mentally lost it. You're done at that point. And so I think sets are huge. A lot of times, like tomorrow, we'll play 10 games. When you play multiple teams, you play 10 just because they're shorter.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had a choice, we would play sets every time, even short sets. Like if we started at 2 and so you play the same amount of games. But, yeah, I love sets.
Mm-hmm. So when you play multiple teams, my guess is they have all kinds of courts going at once. Do you have, like, a break in there, like when you're playing a team, and then you get a time off, and then you're back on the court again?
Yeah, so I think tomorrow we play at 10 and 12, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then there will be – so we play the two early ones. We'll play back-to-back. And then Mitchell plays Huron at 2 after us. And so sometimes you'll end up, like we play – I believe Mitchell first, or Huron first. We play one of the two, and then
Mitchell
that team
first.
Will, Mitchell,
according to this,
Mitchell first, and then so Mitchell will be off while we play Huron, and then they'll play.
Sure.
So yeah, sometimes you'll have a break. We end up pretty lucky actually, so that we can get back in time for to go to the fair.
There you go. Yeah, so. Absolutely. Got to hit that rodeo tomorrow for sure.
Yeah.
Jonah Dignan joining us here live in studio. A couple more here before we get you out of here. And again, thanks for taking some time and joining us here. Nerves for you for tomorrow? Or is it like, hey, you know, let's just go out there and see what we got? I mean, it's tough to have expectations when you're so young. So what's this kind of like for you?
Yeah, I'm nervous when I think about it. But for the most part, I'm excited. I'm excited for the girls. I'm excited to see how well we can do. It should be a good test tomorrow against two pretty good teams. So I think I'm more excited than anything.
Is it difficult? Because I'm sure you played back in the day. What's kind of your background in the game of
tennis?
Yeah,
so I played for Central for Kurtz over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jason, we were family friends with Haskell's, and so I just asked if he needed an assistant one day, and he did. He let me be the assistant for the boys and then the girls, and here we are.
Is it more difficult being a coach than a player? Because in a player, you can choose, you know, hey, I can execute this or that. Now as a head coach, you have to kind of just watch. It's got to be difficult.
Right. That part is difficult. I see, like, I think part of what was difficult for me as a player is when my coach would talk to me and I'd be like, I don't really understand what you're saying because I'm not seeing it the same. I see stuff a lot better as a coach now, and I try to relay that. My players probably feel the same way I did. But I try to – I would say it's more fun being a coach because I like watching the sport and seeing the minute things in the sport.
Did you ever think you'd be coaching tennis when you first kind of started, or is that something you wanted to do or what?
I have like coaching. I took coaching classes in high school and now in college. I didn't think I'd ever do it, especially like as a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think I thought I'd do it for fun. I mean, I do it for fun, but like, yeah, when I got into it, I was just kind of like, we'll see where this goes, and here we are.
Did it take you a while to kind of find your voice a little bit, or no?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I was pretty nervous those first. I learned with the boys, so they were pretty – boys are pretty good at letting you know when they don't like what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that actually helped for the girls, as I kind of had already found that by the time I got to the girls. And so, yeah, I would say it took a little bit of time.
So, like, do you ever have like your voice crack or something, or like that when you're talking to the girls and they're like, "Oh my gosh, this guy"?
I don't think I've had that yet. So
let's hope you don't.
It's probably coming.
Yeah, no, you're good. I definitely have probably had a time or two when I was in college and I was like yelling at like the TV or something. We're talking about the Seahawks off the air, and like my voice cracks or something. I'm like, this guy is kind of nuts. All right, final one before we get you out of here. What's kind of tomorrow look like for you? Is it just get down there and then get a warm up in, or what's kind of tomorrow look like?
Yeah, tomorrow we'll probably try to get to Huron in time to stop and grab Gatorades and stuff from a gas station. The girls can pick out snacks if they want. Then we'll go down, we'll warm up, and we'll play our two duels. Probably get something to eat and then head home and try to get home in time for the girls to go to the fair.
Is it singles and doubles as
yep,
well?
Yep. So I'm not sure. We'll kind of decide when we get there what we start with.
Okay.
A lot of times I like to start with doubles. It's kind of nice to warm. It's almost like a warm up with a partner there.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just see. We'll see what that holds. But yeah, we'll play singles and doubles with both teams.
When it comes to doubles, do the girls kind of come to you and they say, hey, I really play well with so-and-so, or is that something that you have to kind of assign them who their partner is going to be?
A lot of times the girls will have. They're not shy about telling you,
sure,
I want to play with my friend. But like in our informational matches, we played some doubles, and I'd pair people up and we'd play four games and see how that goes. And we'd play six with a different pairing and see how that goes. And then I just told them that these are our pairings, and I said if they want to come talk to me, they can. So we're gonna try them out. We'll see how it goes, and if it doesn't work, we'll switch some stuff up.
All right, man. Well, good luck tomorrow. Enjoy it. Have fun. And, yeah, it's a very, very aggressive schedule early. You've got a lot of duels, and you're going to be going all over the place. So appreciate you doing this, and good luck.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Go Hawks. Jonah Dignan joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. What? He's a Seahawks fan. So am I. It's all good. Coming up next on the show, we're talking some Class B and Class A amateur baseball after this. Glad to be with you on this Monday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Coming up towards the back half of the work week, we're going to talk some Aberdeen Christian volleyball as Sally Gall, she'll be joining us there. And also of note, big shout out to Kathy Grubb. She is officially in the South Dakota Sports Hall of Fame. She'll be joining us, looks like, on Wednesday. Former Northern State women's basketball player. You can check out that full list of all of those athletes, or former student athletes anyway, that have made it to the South Dakota Sports Hall of Fame, all 23 of them. Adam Vinatieri, part of that list. And
where did Adam Vinatieri go?
He went to SDSU.
Okay, I didn't
He's
know
from
that.
Yankton.
Okay, I did not know that.
I know. I didn't know that until I moved here.
Okay, yeah, that's something I never knew.
Yeah, he from Yankton, of course, and yeah, SDSU guy. And I think most people are just like, oh, yeah, great kicker in the snow and this and that. Wait, where's he from? Yeah, that's right.
Makes sense now.
Kicks in the elements.
Yeah, he knows how to kick in the elements, that's for sure.
Buddy, I've been kicking in this since I was age 6.
And you know what else makes sense? There was a kicker, I don't know if it was 2 years ago, I was calling a Yankton and Central game. It was like windy, rainy, a little sleety.
Mm-hmm.
Guy drained a kick. Now it makes more sense.
Totally makes more sense. Absolutely. No two ways about it. Our thanks to Jonah Dignan for taking some time out of his schedule and joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Class B and Class A amateur baseball scoreboards can be found on our website, hubcityradio.com. But you were telling me off the air, and I kind of echoed the sentiment, that you see some pretty wild box scores and some pretty wild numbers as it pertains to these amateurs. You get some of these guys that throw the ball for, we're going to throw like 80 pitches. No. We're going to do it like the way they did it back in the 1920s. We're going to throw it over 140 times.
Yeah, and I saw 152 pitch complete game. You just do not see that anymore. It's kind of funny, because on Friday's show, I was talking about Nolan Ryan. Now, he threw 13 innings and like 234 pitches. So I don't know if it was just the timing of that, and I saw, hey, amateur baseball, these guys throw a zillion pitches. But yeah, there was a couple of them there over the weekend. I'm just like reading the stats. I'm like, do these guys like ice their arms? Like, how are they feeling? Like, are you pitching again this season? Because you threw about 150 pitches, man.
I can't imagine. I mean, those arms got to feel like jelly probably the next day.
I can't imagine, especially if you're throwing some junk in there. You're not just throwing fastballs.
No way. You can't throw fastballs for 143 pitches. There's no way.
I mean, you can, but that doesn't sound very fun. Plus, if you're, you know, with the arm angle with the curveball and you're snapping your elbow, or you're throwing curve. If I was playing amateur baseball, I'd throw a fastball and a changeup. That would be it.
Yeah.
And see if I can get guys out.
It's like all you need. I mean, to a certain degree anyway. I mean, some of these guys, especially that are late 30s, early 40s, that are throwing that many innings, that many pitches. Load up on the ice.
Yeah, load up. Like you said, you know, maybe they're like, you know what, I'm fine. I won't feel it. You're probably going to feel it the next couple days, man.
I would think so. As it pertains to the Aberdeen Circus, they would fall to the Harrisburg Woodies there on Saturday, 6-5. Chad Ellingson, he went 8 2/3 in that contest there in the shortcoming, but they would respond well, downing the Flying Squirrels 9-3 in the elimination round. Matt White going 5 innings strong, striking out 5 as the Circus. They keep their Class A, state championship hopes alive. They'll be back in action, I believe, on Friday.
Yep.
I just wrote this down against, I think it's Brookings, if memory serves, right?
Yeah, I think they're going out to Brandon for that as well. So that's, well, we actually had Chad Ellingson on a Thursday. I believe that's what he said.
Yep, that's right. So that continues here this weekend, as does the Class B, that, of course, down in Brandon. That goes till August the 17th. We're back at it tomorrow on FSA.